Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
He can talk about football.
And I've told you to see that since day one. Nick Bolton, when he gets there, he brings you down.
And he can talk about food.
Cheeseburger pizza at Minsky's. It's a great place to take a first date.
And he can, well, that's all he can really talk about. It's time for Bink to join CDOT in studio right now on The Drive.
Bink, I'm really excited to talk to you.
Feelings mutual, CDOT. Do you want to talk NFL first or college first? I'll let you pick.
Whatever you want to talk about.
It's like a choose-your-own-adventure book.
Let's start with college.
Did you read those choose-your-own-adventure books when you were a kid? I loved them.
You know, I didn't read many books, believe it or not, except for like sports autobiographies and stuff about coaches.
You want to know my favorite book
when I was a kid? But I did read those when I was like fifth grade or something. You choose the page, like skip to page 118.
Yeah, choose-your-own-adventure books.
I was fine with that.
My favorite book as a kid was Super Fudge by Judy Blume. It was a great book.
I remember Judy Blume. I remember that book.
I used to love Encyclopedia Brown, too. I was a big mystery guy. That led to then my love of Scooby-Doo, and which then led to my love of Law & Order.
Scooby-Doo was such a classic, too. And a lot of these guys, you know, didn't watch Scooby growing up. Guys like Rob and stuff, you know. Like, we would have gotten away with the two if it wasn't for those meddling kids. Rob might be in an age group where he did.
Rob, did you watch Scooby-Doo? Yeah. By the way, you reading Hardy Boys? The same genre?
I did not read the Hardy Boys.
They were right there, too.
I was just an Encyclopedia Brown. Now, I don't know why they haven't made an Encyclopedia Brown movie for the kiddos. Like, I don't know why they haven't done that. But with all these streaming services, somebody can't bring back Encyclopedia Brown?
They should. Sly Stallone's coming here to shoot something called Kansas City. Did you see that?
I can't wait for it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I love Sylvester Stallone, and I love Kansas City. Yeah, they're going to combine the two things.
It's called Kansas City, man. It's perfect.
It's going to be great. All right, college football here. We'll start college, and then we'll go to the NFL here. Does Cincinnati have any chance? I feel like that's the only question. Does Cincinnati have any chance?
I would say yes, because, you know, they're playing on house money. And, I mean, not if Alabama plays against Georgia. Nobody stands a chance in the postseason, because Georgia was the best team at that point until Alabama just completely dismantled them. But Alabama had that close game when they had to go for two and against Florida, that two-point conversion that came down to decide that game. The Iron Bowl was really questionable. And if Auburn goes for two in the first overtime, we may not be talking about Alabama like we are now. But they've LSU, they did six rushing yards against that LSU. They struggled to get a running game going against Auburn. So when a team's on house money and continues to hear how they don't stand a chance, same stuff that Alabama used against Georgia. You hear Nick Saban after the game? He thanked the media for putting out rat poison, he called it. The rat poison by saying that Georgia is just going to steamroll Alabama and all that. And he says, finally, I had something to embrace. Embracing that hate. Like, people are dogging, which they never do for Alabama. But finally, he found that one game where they weren't talking. But now it's all about Alabama steamrolling Cincinnati. So, Cincinnati, I think, does stand a chance, because Alabama's been Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Which team are you going to get?
We live in a sick world if Alabama can pull the nobody believes in us card.
They did.
Alabama.
They were the dogs. Disrespected. What Nick Saban, only three underdogs since 2008. You didn't hear him? Did you hear him as postgame?
No, I heard and
the
I saw.
The rat poison.
And I said on this show, Rob was here, I said, I can't think of a game where no one is picking Alabama. Like, heading into the SEC championship game, I didn't see a national pundit. I didn't see a tweet. I didn't see anybody that was like, yeah, Alabama's going to win this game. They're better than Georgia. Now,
well, he found everything that he needed to find.
I do wonder, in Georgia's defense, the game doesn't really mean anything for you. Like, you know you're going to be in the playoff, where Alabama is playing with a different feeling, a place of desperation. Hey, this is a playoff game for us. We need this game to be able to advance where Georgia doesn't need that. So I do wonder, in terms of Georgia, are you really showing a whole lot in that scenario? Are you keeping a lot of your cards close to your vest? And from a mental preparation standpoint, how hard are you going to go in a game where, well, it doesn't matter if you win or lose?
I think so, because to be honest with you, C-Dot, had they won that game, it was for the SEC title game. And if they went out and thumped Alabama, they wouldn't probably have to deal with them in the playoffs. Like, the road to winning a national title started with Alabama and Georgia in the SEC title game. If Georgia goes out there and just puts one down on Alabama, there's a good chance they're not in the playoffs.
No,
taking
you're right.
That L. So they could have got rid of them. Now Alabama's going to be sitting around there, maybe to beat them again. But they had an opportunity in that game. That's why I thought they took it. Well, I thought they took it 100% seriously, just to get rid of Alabama and not have to deal with them again. Now everybody's got to deal with them.
No, I agree with you. I just wonder of how much is that a motivation for you as a coach and a motivation as a player to go out there and 100% lock in for a game that the winner or loser doesn't really dictate your ability to win the national championship.
If you got a chance to knock out that team and Nick Saban's 7 national titles, you got them on the ropes, you got them in that situation, Alabama needs that win. If you can't find a motivating factor to get rid of Alabama in that game, you had the chance. What'd they say, Omar, in The Wire? You swing at the come at the king, you better not miss. Well, they missed.
Do you think it matters or not if Harbaugh wins or loses this game because he simply got to the playoff? I mean, obviously you want to win. I'm not debating that. But I mean, it was such a big deal for him to get over the hump of beating Ohio State. You got over the hump and you beat Ohio State. It was a big deal for you to win the Big Ten. It hadn't happened in, what, 20 years for Michigan. They won the Big Ten. Now you get here. If you lose a coin flip game to Georgia, does it matter if you were Michigan?
I think so. We're talking about the guy that restructured his contract and took less money at Michigan. I mean, the calls were out there because he was struggling. He hadn't beat Ohio State since he had been there. About a 500 record against Michigan State, so he wasn't beating his rivals like he should. I said when he was hired at Michigan, this is when the stock was high on Jim Harbaugh, and I said 5 years and he wins a national title. I remember talking to Henry on the day shift. I said, give me 5 years and he wins a national title. Well, we're on 6 and he has a chance. Listen, Alabama, they're going to have the Heisman-winning trophy quarterback, and they've never had a Heisman-winning trophy quarterback at Alabama. But when you think about all those first-round picks like Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith is gone, Mac Jones is gone, Najee Harris, Alex Leatherwood, first-round pick, the Allen Trophy winner last year, the top center in the country, Landon Dickerson, they lost a ton, and now they're bringing in Bill O'Brien instead of Sarkisian as the wayward coach's home continues at Alabama, going back Lane Kiffin and Sark, and now Bill O'Brien. This is the chance, because you're not getting a vintage Alabama team in the postseason like we typically see. And you're not having to deal with Clemson, because Dabo kind of had to take a step back, finishing, what, 19th this year? Clemson's going to be right back. So this is the year to do it. You don't have to deal with Clemson, and you have an Alabama team that's not as good as it has been in the past, despite the number one ranking. So, yeah, this is the opportunity for Jim Harbaugh to look at this and say, okay, we can match up and beat these, especially when you got a guy like Aiden Hutchinson over there on that defense. This is the year you got to cash in.
My last college football question, we'll get to the Chiefs. Let's talk some AFC here. There's a lot happening right now in the world of football. Do you think that this coaching search and offseason is the norm? Or was this just a year where the right jobs were open at the right time, and it's just one of those things that happen once every 10 years? I mean, we saw USC fill a coaching vacancy. Oklahoma filled a coaching vacancy. Notre Dame filled a coaching vacancy. LSU filled one. Miami. Like, if you had to make a list of the top 15 powers in college football, a third of them change coaches. So I don't necessarily think we're going to see that level of movement between those, but do you think we're going to start to see more high-level Power 5 coaches leave their position to take other P5 jobs?
I think we're getting there, because the money is just so different at different schools.
It's insane right now.
And the powers to be like USC, Texas, Oklahoma, you know, they've got the resources. There were some big-time jobs open. Typically, you're not going to have the LSU job and all these jobs come open at the same time, but there's going to be great you know, programs come available. Nebraska might come available next year with Scott Frost. Who knows the direction in Texas? Because Sark just signed that new contract there, but a crappy year like this year, he comes out of the gate like this next year. All of a sudden, Texas, who's moving to the SEC, becomes a really, really nice job for somebody in that state, which we've been saying about Texas for the longest time until they get it right. But no, I wish coaches would wait, though. I understand the we saw a lot of impatience. Now, with Brian Kelly, could he have said, all right, LSU, I like what you're saying. I like what you have on the table. Can we wait a week? Can we wait a week to see if we're going to be in the playoffs or not? I mean, they can do whatever they want. They can go whenever they want. I would like people to go wait until after the conference championship season before they do the the head coaching carousel and swirling around and taking their job. I don't have a problem with another guy taking their job. But we haven't seen this scenario where a team is all sudden, because when Oklahoma State lost to Baylor, I mean, that Notre Dame thinks, whoa, what's going on here? Because then if Georgia beats Alabama, Notre Dame's in the postseason.
They gotta move
to see that.
Then they got to move the signing day then. Like, you can't have the Erling signing day in mid-December tell USC you can't hire a coach until
which has been the predominant December. One. When more guys are signing on the early signing day. Do I think they should move it back? Yes, because all
that's
these
basically
coaches
signing
day
now.
Because now it's take the job and get on an airplane and fly to 5 different places to visit your recruits before you take the job. It's a lot in a short. You got Bob Stoops out there traveling around doing the Zoom call for the bowl game, which is still one of the craziest Zooms you'll ever see, because Cristobal was in it talking about Oregon, and he clearly was going to go take the Miami job. So it was kind of a joke with the way these recruits are being handled with the late recruiting, and even Stoops going out there on the recruiting trail trying to hold things down for Oklahoma. But yeah, they need to move it back if it's what coaches are going to do.
I lied. One more question here. Give me a bowl game you're really interested in. Because you mentioned one. Oklahoma-Oregon, I think, is really fascinating. I know it's maybe biased because we're local here. I think K-State-LSU is really interesting.
K-State-LSU is going to be fun to see what LSU has to offer. But, you know, different deal because Ed Orgeron's not there. Brian Kelly, we'll see what influence he has in it. I really like the Sugar Bowl. You know, the Ole Miss-Baylor matchup. I just think those are two quality football teams. I like Lane Kiffin. He just got that extension. Dave Aranda at Baylor. I got a lot of respect for this guy. I just like the way he handles things, you know. He just very businesslike, wins the game and goes, he knows other things to fry. But I would say other fish to fry. But I would certainly go with the Sugar Bowl as one of my favorites.
Right now, we're talking to Jay Binkley. If you got a question, we'll ask Binkley a couple questions here coming up in a little bit. 913-576-7610. Let's get to the Kansas City Chiefs. So at 5 o'clock, we're going to open up the phone lines and let people chime in. But we've been asking our guests this. Fill in the blank. I am blank about the Chiefs offense right now.
Constantly waiting. You know, with that guy sitting around looking at the clock, you know, having a drink and figuring out what's going on. But that's what I would put it. It's just puzzling. To all of a sudden think about the Kansas City Chiefs. Are they a defensive team now? Have they flipped from being an offensive to a defensive team? Because they've certainly been that the last 4-game stretch, last 5-game stretch. This is what they've been. I was a little bit perplexed about how they came out after the bye week. I thought it'd be a little bit different for the Chiefs. And we know how good that script works out at the beginning, but can they carry the script over? I do believe analytically this Chiefs offense is still in a good place, but the eye test would tell you it's certainly got a problems with the drop passes. I mean, the drop passes, Chiefs are 4th in the NFL in drop passes. That's something you would like to say can be fixed. Like turnovers, I do believe were fixed a bit for the Kansas City Chiefs going forward. They're not as bad as what they were. They're still sitting there second most giveaways in the NFL. But, I would just say waiting constantly. I keep waiting for them to turn around. They just haven't.
So the numbers are this. The first 6 games, the Chiefs scored 30.8 points per game. The last 6, they have scored 19.6 points per game. So a drastic difference the last 6 games versus the first 6 games of the year. They've scored 1 touchdown in their last 16 possessions. And I think the thing for me that has really stood out of late is it's not like you can say they're not capable of it. Because on their first drive, and they have scored more points on the opening drive than any team in the NFL, that looks like the Chiefs offense that all of us have come to know and love. Their offense on that first drive against the Broncos was surgical. I thought it was a near perfect drive. They only had 2 third downs on the play and went 12 plays. After that, it's just a bunch of So, like, you see in one game what their offense should look like and how it can be when it's operating at its normal capacity. And then it'll turn around in the next three possessions and it'll just be, that's okay. It's all right.
And I think they got in the back of their mind where they trust the defense more now, so they don't take as many of those chances we've seen in the last couple of years when they knew they had to get down there and score points. I look back at that last possession they had before halftime against the Broncos. You talked to Patrick about it yesterday on your one-on-one. We were talking about the wind and had they get enough rushing yards that first play. We'll see what they could do. Like the Chiefs, I know, with the minute nine and two timeouts, they push, man. They go down the field and do things, especially going against the half where you're going to be able to get a field goal, then turn around and get the ball in the second half. I was a little bit surprised by that possession. They just kind of showed me at a point there about how much they really truly do trust the defense now, and what they're seeing is not a mirage. They're believing tangibly in this defense is making improvements, because they don't play that series that way early on the season with that defense. They don't do it. Do you think they do it? I don't think the Chiefs rest on their laurels with the minute nine, two timeouts. The way the defense was at the beginning of the year, totally don't see them doing that.
Yeah, I don't think they do either. I was just really puzzled by what they did at the end of the first half. I don't have any issues with them throwing the ball to Darrell Williams. I would not give him two consecutive carries. Like, we've seen enough data in his career to know that those are not going to be two productive plays. So I felt like they then threw two plays away, but then they threw it on third down. It was just really confusing. And then in the third quarter, when it was 13-3, you got a fourth and two from the 8-yard line, and your defense has been playing masterful. Roll the dice there. Go for it on fourth down. Possibly convert, and you can end the game right there. Now, it ended up not mattering because they got a pick six on, four plays later. But to me, it's more the mindset that you have that it's very odd to see as the games are starting to get more important, how their offense is getting more and more conservative.
Yeah, it is. And I go back to in training camp when I'd visit you on Tuesdays like now, and I was telling you how good I felt the defense was going to be in the preseason, because I was building them up with you a lot during training camp, but how good I thought they were going to be. Then all of a sudden, 3 or 4 weeks later, I was like, coming in here, like, what the hell did I see? And I told Carrington that they were going to be good from what I've seen, and they're just not. I just waited for the defense to make a turn. They did. So I guess I got to give the offense the same benefit of the doubt that eventually things are going to flip. And I'll say this. If teams, which I think at this point, they're going to start taking the defense more seriously. When they do their game plans during the week, look at the Chiefs defense. Like, how can we score points against this defense? They're making plays, and they're doing things. Because all of a sudden, we've taken our whole game plans. How can we slow down and stop Patrick Mahomes? The Honey Badger said it after the game when he was asked why teams are going for it so much on fourth down, like the Broncos, that one series where they went for it three times on fourth down, and ultimately that fourth and two didn't work out for him. He said it's because the trust in our offense. They trust our offense and Patrick Mahomes. But eventually, our team's going to start spending more time on how to figure out this defense. And then all of a sudden, take your foot off the gas a little bit with the Chiefs' offense. Chiefs' offense, because they're waiting. Like, they're waiting to go downfield. They're waiting to exploit you when you make a mistake. I've always felt the Chiefs are waiting. Teams aren't making that mistake. But will they at some point here? And I think they will.
I want to play this audio for you. This is Andy Reid. This is what he said yesterday about Mecole Hardman.
You know, we still have a lot of trust in Mecole, and you know, and other weeks it'll be higher. It's the way it worked out. I mean, sometimes those things happen.
So that was Andy Reid yesterday talking about Mecole Hardman. He has seen his snaps greatly diminish over the last 3 weeks. He is only playing in 22% of their offensive plays the last 3 weeks. Like, that's not counting running routes. That's just on the field in 22% of the snaps over the last 3 weeks.
It's like Nick Bolton on defense.
Do you think he can do something to get out of the doghouse? Because this feels a lot like what happened to Le'Veon Bell. This feels a lot like what happened to McCoy at the end of his time here, where in the first half of the season, you were part of what they were doing. And then over time, they started to gradually phase you out more and more. That's what it feels like is happening to Mecole Hardman right now.
I think so, too, in the way defenses are playing. Like, are you big enough, physical enough to catch the ball across the middle? Because to me, when I see what Byron Pringle getting those 41% of the snaps, and yes, he had those drops, which wasn't good, but Mahomes had the highest passer rating to Byron Pringle going into that before he made those drops. And Byron Pringle is all of a sudden, is he the number two receiver with the snap he's getting? Because what's he do? He brings the physicality, a lot like Sammy Watkins. to some extent on a lesser level, but that kind of player. That's what I was telling you about Byron Pringle, because I believe, you know, he was catching the football. He was running the short routes. He's running tougher routes. He's willing to get in there and block. And I think when you think about this team trying to work the run a little bit more, the shorter passes, the intermediate stuff, like, McColl doesn't really fit into kind of what the style is on how the Chiefs have had to play the last couple of weeks. So I can understand why his snap count has gone down, because he doesn't provide you the same stuff that these other receivers do.
Was yesterday, Monday Night Football, a good game or a bad game?
It's going to sound weird, but I enjoyed every minute of it.
I loved it.
I loved every minute. Because Belichick, which is funny, he had his radio show today on our sister station, WEI, which he does each and every week. He goes, because they were asking about the rematch they're going to have here in a couple weeks against the Patriots, or against the Bills. He said, well, they haven't seen their passing game. They don't know what we're going to try to do. So, you know, he was just having fun with it. I liked it. It was a major troll move, in my opinion, on Bill Belichick. One of his better games as a head coach, when he says, no, we're just gonna run it at you. Here you are, Buffalo. And Buffalo, all of a sudden now, you know, they still got to play the Bucs. They got to play the Patriots again. They set it 7-5. I mean, it could be a scenario if they get a couple more L's, and all of a sudden we're going to talk about Buffalo even being a playoff team at this point. But Belichick did exactly what he had to do. Hey, we're not gonna throw the ball. We're just gonna run it, a lot like the Bills in 1974 against the Jets. Nobody threw the ball. I went back and looked at the game because people were talking about that game. They threw two pass attempts. I went back and looked at the weather that day in Buffalo against the Jets.
It's probably very similar.
It was like 41 mile an hour winds gusting up to 47. Joe Namath in that game was 2 of 18 for the Jets, 3 picks. And it was a lot of the juice. It was a lot of running the football for the Buffalo Bills, but 0 for 2, because I wanted to see why did they do this, because it was a September game. It wasn't like it was a winter game with the snow and everything, but it was just classic, old-school Bill. We're going to run the football. I thought it was one of his better coaching appearances we've seen.
True or false, the Patriots will be the one seed in the AFC.
True. I just don't see how they're going to get out of that. They're just playing so sound and fundamental football right now. Game manager with the quarterback, which is completely what Mac Jones is. What's win with this defense. Like I said, it kind of reminds me of the early on Patriots starting off this dynasty with the young Tom Brady. Before Tom Brady and, you know, got Randy Moss and a whole offensive explosion through from around 2007, 2008, something like that, when they did have that run where they went undefeated. But early on, the Patriots were about this style that they're playing now.
Bink, do you know what time it is?
Random question time!
Bink, on a scale from 1 to 10, how into Christmas are you?
I like it a lot. And I really like those lights. I really like lights. I don't know what it is, but I've always liked the twinkling lights. So I'm pretty into it because I enjoy seeing the lights and I enjoy Christmas cookies and I like giving gifts. I don't give many, but I like to give them. So I'd say I'm a 10, man. I'm only on Christmas.
Do you like Christmas music more or Christmas movies more?
I'd say the movies, because I really like Christmas Vacation. Like, that's a must. We'll have to watch it a couple times. So.
Okay.
And Christmas Story with the BB gun and stuff, the Red Ryder. I like that stuff.
What was the Christmas gift? Why? What was your Red Ryder BB gun as a kid? I really wanted a throwback jersey, and I got an Earl Campbell Oilers
Sweet.
Throwback jersey. That was my Red Ryder BB gun.
Mine was the days of the Atari.
Okay. Like
Pac-Man, Tecmo Bowl, that kind of stuff. That's kind of what I was into, the early on old school video games. You probably don't know what that is, but there was this thing called the Atari that we had. Everybody had to get the game, right? Pac-Man? Legendary.
What was the gift that you never got that you really wanted? I really wanted a power wheel. Remember, pow, pow, power wheels? I really wanted a power wheel.
Why? As bad as the Chiefs were, like when I grew up, and especially in the 80s, I really wanted season tickets. Never got them. Ended up having to find Molons, whatever, finding a way, selling a radar detector to my dad back when those were popular to get the money to go see them. Until I found a gal to date because her dad had season tickets. And then it became my fall romance for a couple of years.
Text line 913-576-7610. Ask Bink. Bink, are you a breakfast guy?
Yes, 100% breakfast. I'm a breakfast anytime. And I've never understood the rules. Why can't you eat breakfast for dinner? Why do people frown upon that? No, just eat it whenever you want to. It's food is food. Huge breakfast guy. I'd go breakfast over any other type of meal. Lunch, dinner, you name it. Give me breakfast. I could eat all day long.
Someone wants to know your thoughts on the Simone Award winner for 2021.
Interesting guy with Paulie, because this is like one of the better athletes around the city. He's committed to go to Nebraska. I'm talking about the Blue Valley Northwest quarterback that won it. He's committed to go to Nebraska to play baseball. And they worked on it because he can play football too. So it's in the Bubba deal where he's going, you know, one or the other, which he ended up going to the pros. He is the number one catcher in the state of Kansas, thinking about moving him around. But then all of a sudden, K-State and KU came in and offered him full scholarships just for football. And KU was going to let him play football and baseball. But I think it's an interesting guy because he's going to play baseball, and then he's gonna give football a shot too. He's a three-star guy as a quarterback in football, and definitely elevated himself throughout the season, that 12-1 season they have in the state title.
Binkley, I appreciate you coming on our show today.
Thanks, C-Dot.
It was such an honor and a privilege just be in your presence.
It's fun.
Or even however long it was.
It's fun.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.